Would you do something? We don't do this every time, but I think every now and then it's good to do it. Let's stand and let's read God's word together. This is a little short passage. Now, just to give you the context in this, somebody asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? And this is the answer he gave. So let's read this together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, let's pray while we're standing here. Father God, oh, your word, it just speaks to us. We need it to speak to us right now. We need your spirit to kind of take those words, that scripture, as we read through them today, and just kind of nudge us and say, here, I need you to see this one. Pay attention. Father, as we study together here in this larger room, we pray that you would meet us in this moment. Father, we've come in, a lot of stuff on our plates, a lot of things happening to get us distracted. Help us put those things aside for a few moments and give you this time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We're looking at the idea that we often need a reset. Now, reset can be a really big thing, you know, that you have to do. You've got to put a lot of effort into it. Sometimes we do resets just very, very simple. Think about when you're driving. And if you've got your hand on the steering wheel now, you're supposed to have two hands. So you're driving. What are you doing? Aren't you constantly resetting? You know, because the car wants to move a little bit this way, a little bit that, and you're just keeping it center in the lane. Sometimes it's more than that. Maybe you've had the experience like I did the other day. I told my map where I wanted to go, my phone, and said, I want to go up here. And it says, you want to go this way? And I said, no, I do not. I do not want to go on the east side of 465. Thank you very much. I know that at 5 o'clock at night. That's a parking lot. And so I just kind of kept going the way I knew I wanted to go. I couldn't get my phone to readjust. So finally it said, oh, you want to go this way? Oh, you want to go up on the west side? Great. Well, now let me tell you about the parking lots at this corner and this corner of 465. But sometimes we get those. We get those reset moments where everything kind of goes, oh, okay, we need to do it this way. We need to be thinking this way. We need to be moving in this direction. So that's what we're looking at during this month, is how do we get a reset going on in our hearts and our minds and our soul, our strength, and in our relationships. Now you may wonder, we've jumped to mind today. You may say, what about soul? Well, I want to invite you on the 4th. I know that's Labor Day weekend. Cancel your plans. Be here. Because Jim Frazier and I, we're gonna have a discussion. I just want to talk to him about, boy, how do you tend to your soul for the long run? What do you got some nuggets of wisdom for us that we can just kind of talk about? Jim's giving me a look like, now, really, that's what we're talking about? Yes, it is. Yes, that would be good. Send a video if not. So this morning we want to look about our thoughts and resetting our thoughts. So I want to begin by looking at the prophet Elijah. Now, if you may know that name, you may not. He is an Old Testament character. What has happened is, you know, the nation of Israel has had a civil war and has divided, and there is now the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is known as Israel, and the southern kingdom is known as Judah. And all the kings of Israel, that northern kingdom, are bad. That is, they keep leading their people away from God. Judah, some are good, some are bad. They're all bad. And so during this time period that we're going to look at, there's a king by the name of Ahab, and Ahab has a wife by the name of Jezebel. And Jezebel comes from a line of people who worshipped this god known as Baal. And Baal worship wasn't just, you know, throw a little incense on something. It was nasty, nasty business. And so God used Elijah to have a showdown with what were known as the prophets of Baal. They did it up on this mountain called Mount Carmel. You can still go there today. And what they did, they had kind of a competition. And so what they did, they said, okay, here's a sacrifice. Here's the fire. Here's the animal to be sacrificed. Baal, you guys do your thing. You prophets of Baal, do your thing. Call on him. Let's see if anything happens. And they just go through all their rituals. They're beating themselves. They're doing all sorts of things. And nothing is happening. And Elijah begins to tell him, maybe he's asleep. Even did something where maybe he's in the bathroom. Get him up. Get him out here. Nothing happens. And he says, now it's my turn. And says, what? We're not going to make this easy. I want you to pour water. I want you to douse the thing. Put a whole little moat around this. Fill that all up with water. I mean, just douse this thing with water. So there's no possible way. Just there was some little spark got this whole thing going. And so he prays, and boom, out of the sky comes this fireball and just takes everything. Takes the sacrifice, takes the wood, takes the water, just. And then they get rid of the prophets of Baal. Jezebel hears about this and says, uh-uh, I'm coming after you, bud. I'm taking your life. And so we pick up with this. It says, Elijah was afraid. Now think about this. Elijah just had this big, miraculous battle where God showed up in a mighty way. And what's his response? Fear. Sometimes that happens to even the best of us. So he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He said, I've had enough. You ever had a moment like that? I've had enough. I'm done. Maybe not with your life, maybe with a relationship, something, you just, I'm done. And then he fell asleep. And it says that while he's sleeping, an angel woke him up and said, you need to eat and drink. And there were some bread and some water for him. And so he ate those, he refreshed himself, went back to sleep. Happened a second time. Wakes up, he eats, drinks, and then he has enough energy to go on a trip to Mount Horeb, is also known as the Mountain of God. And he came to a cave there, and he spent the night. And this is what we read next after that. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replies, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. What do we see here? Elijah needs a reset mentally. What's happening? Notice the pessimism, the cynicism, fatalism that are running rampant in his mind. It's no use. It's no good. And that's a sign that you might need to reset if you've got some of that stuff going on. Maybe you've been to that moment. You gave and you gave and you gave. And you feel like nothing really came from it. God, I'm going to church every day. I'm throwing Sunday school into the mix. Or I'm in a small group. Or I'm serving in some way. And man, things are still not going the way I want them. I still feel let down by God. I don't think anything's ever going to change. Nothing's going to ever get better. That's a sign it's time for a reset. Now, Elijah's story here is also a good reminder that part of the reset process involves physical rest and restoration. As we go through all of these things, maybe a part of the process of reset for you involves a good nap or a break. Take a look at your schedule. Do you have any downtime built into it? Are you going, going, going so that you are mentally exhausted? We talk about having margin on paper. You know, there's a marginal space on each side. It's a good way to think about the margin of your life. Does your budget have any margin, or is it just you? It comes in and it goes out. And the first sign of an extra expense and you are, you know, hyperventilating. Does your calendar, does it have any margin in it? Or are you just going and going and going and going and going? It's okay to claw back some time so that you can rest, so that you can reset. You need some of that time daily. You need some of it weekly. You need it monthly. You need it annually. You need some time to let some things fall away. It may very well be that you just need to learn how to say this big theological word. Get ready, okay? No. You may just need to say no. Now, oftentimes we don't say no out of fear. Sometimes out of fear, well, people won't think I'm doing my job. Or they won't do it the way I want them to do it. Are you one of those people when it comes, you wish, I wish more people would do things around the house, like just loading the dishwasher. But then you're mad when they don't load it right. This type of stuff just keeps us going and going and going and going. And we've got our phones now and we're just always wired in. And our brains, physiologically, the way God made us, we need a break. But you need to reset if pessimism and cynicism and fatalism and all that stuff is just running wild on you. Here's another one. Check out this proverb. Like a maniac. I like the version that says a madman. Like a madman. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was just joking. Here's what happens. Here's a sign that things are awry. Lies look less than deadly to you. Lies become tolerable. You know, it was just a little lie that led to the whole fall of creation. Satan didn't show up with a howitzer. He didn't show up with a whole army. Eat the fruit or else. He just questioned God. He just inserted a lie. That's all it takes. Lies destroy relationships. They lead to wars. They wreak all sorts of havoc on this world. And in our frustrations, in our despair, lies begin to seem less harmful. In fact, we can begin to see them as kind of necessary, maybe even helpful. But let's remind ourselves, who is the father of lies? Satan, the devil, the accuser, the opposer. Yeah. We think we can use a lie, we can use his chief weapon for our good and get away with it? We cannot. So if we find ourselves tolerant of lies, that's a good sign that we might need a reset in our thinking. And Jesus gives us a hint of another sign when things go awry in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says it in the positive, but we'll look at this and see how in the negative. But blessed, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For those who want to find me, who know me, they need a pure of heart. But we kind of look down on purity. And purity can begin to look prudish to us. And that's a sign that things are off. And we need a reset. When you think about things of purity, you go, that's so old-fashioned. This is the 21st century. These are the modern times. Catch up. But it's not just, purity isn't just about like sexual types of things. Purity is about the singleness to it and what we want. And do we want God alone or do we want God plus? See, things are no longer pure if we've added in other elements, are they? And if we're wanting something more than God, that seems just Him? That seems so old-fashioned. That seems so out of step with the times. That's a sign we need to reset our thinking. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Notice here, we're called to think of others, but when things go sideways in our thinking, selfishness becomes predominant. Selfishness becomes predominant. We're not looking just to our own. Now, that's the thing here. We're not called, it's not that we're to ignore our interests, but we can't look just to our own interests. We have to think about the bigger picture. We have to think about what's going on around us, whether it's the people near us or the entire world. Is it just us? Or could we be thinking about how our actions impact others? But if all we're doing is thinking about us, it's time for a reset. If we're at that place where, you know, we always expect other people to go to the back of the line, or we see people as a means or as an obstacle to getting what we want, what we desire, something is off. We're called to think differently. And what is it we're called to think? Listen to the Apostle Paul later in the book of Philippians. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's where you put your thoughts. Now let's say that together. You don't have to stand up for this, but let's read that verse, those verses together here. Your verse. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's easy to say. But everything is easier to say than do. So how? How do we get back? How do we reset our thinking? Paul wrote to the Roman church, he had a great letter, great letter. And he's addressing the issue of how do people from very different backgrounds find unity? And his point is this, you got a lot in common. One of the things you have in common is you got a sin problem. But guess what? You also have a solution to that sin problem. It's the same. This is what you can gather around now. Basically, what you have in common is the mercy of God. And so he says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," you know, while you're thinking about God's mercy, while you've got it in your sight, "to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." You've heard maybe the old joke. You know the problem with a living sacrifice? Keeps crawling off the table. Keeps crawling off the altar. We got to put ourselves back on. We got to reset. He said, "So offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So here's a call to renew our minds, which is another way of saying to reset our minds. And it's through this renewed thinking, notice here, that we are ultimately transformed so that we are not following the pattern of this world. So we have to do this by renewing it. So how are we going to renew it? Well, let's revisit a passage we looked at last week. Colossians 3:1 says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." I want you to note something here. You don't set your mind on things above in order to be raised, but because you have already been raised. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have submitted to him, if you've been buried in the waters of baptism, raised to a new life, if all that is true for you, you've already been raised in God's sight. You have already been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are no longer a prisoner of sin. You are now set free. So because of that, we set our hearts there. We looked at that last week. Notice what he says here. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So how can we get our minds thinking about the things God wants us thinking about? Which is basically saying we want to start asking ourselves, what's God's point of view on this? What's he say about this? How does he view this? So I can align my thinking with his. Let's look at this word from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. The word has a cleansing, transforming effect on us. So what do? Read the scriptures. Why do we read the scriptures? Because it is in the scriptures that God reveals himself. His nature, his quality, his will, what he cares about. It's through reading the scriptures that we begin to get more and more a sense of who he is. And what does that look like? Well, one thing you can do to kind of help you kind of get this process, I've been sending out Monday through Friday a devotion. Oh, I was so encouraged. So many of you signed up and said, yeah, include me on that list. And if you didn't, or this is the first time you're hearing about it, tomorrow's devotion will go out to everybody on the All Church email list. If you're not on that email, give us your email on the connection card, and we'll put you on that. We'll start sending that out. And then in that first email on Monday, you can say, yeah, send me the rest. But we need to do, so that's one way. Then take time. Just find some time. Work your way through a gospel or through a Psalms. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a rush. Let yourself spend some time in God's word and let it get into you. Now, here's something to help you do that, and that is to read the scriptures with others. Read the scriptures with others. One of the things I want to encourage you to do is become a part of a smaller group of people. Now, that takes all sorts of forms. It can be a Bible study. It can be a small group. It can be 4 people, 6 people, 8 people, 10 people, maybe a dozen at the most. But get together. Now, we're working here at ECC. We're coming out of the pandemic. We're going to be putting some special emphasis on our small groups and how we're doing that. And one of the first ways we're going to do that is this fall, we're going to have kind of a church-wide study and small group time, kind of put those two things together. So what we talk about on Sunday morning will be some of the same things we do in small groups. And it's a 6-week period. And so if you're kind of new to small groups, you can do anything for 6 weeks, all right? So try it out. Check it out. There is an insert in your program. You can check off on that. If your small group has been kind of, yeah, we kind of meet, I don't know, this is a great time. Get back in a step with things again. If you're interested in hosting a group, host just means you open your home, put out some snacks, turn on the lesson, get the questions going and discussion started. 6 weeks. Well, maybe your group will want to keep moving on, and that'll be great. Or maybe 6 weeks is enough. But try it out. Here's another great opportunity we have right here at ECC. It's the Bible Study Fellowship. It's an international organization. In this past year, they started meeting here. And they have a time where they get together, they go through the material that they're doing, and they break down into smaller groups. And Julie Lindsay is here. She's the president of this kind of local area organization, and she's going to fill you in a little bit more.
Good morning. So yes, I have an excellent opportunity, especially for the ladies of our church, to take advantage of what Bible Study Fellowship has to offer, because our church is so gracious in opening the doors for everyone in our community to come here and meet. We did it last year. We studied the book of Matthew. This year, we're going to be studying the Old Testament. The study is entitled People of the Promise, Kingdom Divided. And it starts, the study starts in the period in Israel's history after Solomon's reign, when the kingdom is divided into two separate kingdoms. And we will look at that history there up until the time of the exile. And if you don't know a lot about the Old Testament, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then this study is for you. It will help you get acquainted with that. And more than that, it's just going to help you see the faithfulness of God to his people. When the people rebelled, when the people rejected God, he did not give up on them. He relessly pursued them by sending the people these prophets and preserving the line for Jesus to come and rescue all of us. So in this study, we're just going to get a great bird's eye view of not just the Old Testament, but really the whole Bible, how the whole story comes together. So I would invite you to come and study. Last year, we had women, and we will this year too, from all over the greater Bloomington area, the surrounding counties, that come here to our church on Wednesday mornings for that study. It begins on September 14th. It's on Wednesday mornings from 9:30 to 11 a.m. We have children's programming for preschool children. And Lord willing, we are going to be offering a program for school-age children as well, as long as we get the leadership in place for that. We're still working on it. But I wanted to present that opportunity to you. If you are not available on Wednesday morning, or you are not a female and you're interested in this study, there are options for you as well, because as Byron said, this is an international organization with classes all over the world. So there are other classes in Bloomington that meet in the evening for women and men. And there's also classes that you could participate in online. So the information for that and how to register is in your bulletin. If you have more questions, you can talk to me, or you can talk to Ruth Hudson also.
Thank you, Julie. It's a great opportunity if you're available on Wednesday mornings. You know, they come in and have kind of a larger lesson, and they break down into those smaller groups and have some more discussion. So there's another opportunity. Let's go on a little bit further. In Psalm 119, we read, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. As you read the scriptures, a way to reset your mind is to do so as an act of prayer and worship, not as a to-do list thing to check off. Well, got that done, moving on today. Look at me, I'm holy, I'm good, da-da-da-da-da, or whatever. I did the thing, I fulfilled my duty. But rather as an opportunity to let yourself pray through those scriptures and to use them as an opportunity to say, wow, God, look at who you are. Let yourself think about them, worship. You know, one of the ways that Troy mentioned, there's a worship event tonight, and they're going to sing, and a number of those songs have scripture within them, embedded into them, or at least thoughts from those scriptures. And so if you're able to come out tonight, come out tonight, and let's just lift up our voices together. Matthew 7, Jesus said this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Read the scriptures so that you can know God. Not just about God, but to know God himself, to see him revealed, his character, his nature, his purposes, his plans. Let that do that. So when you do that, you'll get to know him. When we kind of let things simmer, you know, about cooking simmering, you just kind of let things simmer, let those flavors get into whatever you're cooking. Let his word and who he is simmer their way into your soul. I love this in Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Here's another way, if you want to reset your mind, you need to read the scriptures to also know yourself. To let it cut through the lies you tell yourself, the facades you put place, and just let God's word cut through that. So you can see yourself as you truly are. On two sides of things. One, to see, you know, when we're sinning, we need to see it for what it is. But we also need to see ourselves as who God redeems us and values us and where he sets us now. Reading scripture can help you do that. Finally, it's not enough just to read. Listen to James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Act on what you read. Most of us learn by doing. I knew that. You can show me 100 times how to do something, but it usually takes me doing it myself a few times before I really get a hold of it and understand it. Renewing, resetting your mind so that you love God with all of it requires acting on what you're learning about God and about yourself. Even Jesus, the Word incarnate, acted on what he knew about the scriptures and about himself and about who God is, even when he knew the price. We saw that in the temptation in the wilderness. He responds to the devil's temptations with scripture. But we also saw it in the garden. Jesus knew what God's will was, and he really wanted another route. He said, if there's any other way we could go, that would be nice. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's after. But only said, okay, not my will, your will. And that's what we're going to remember here in just a moment with communion. We're going to see that Jesus acted on scripture through that little piece of bread and that little cup of juice. That's him acting it out. And if Jesus needed to respond to what he knew, you and I need to respond to what we learn. So it comes in deeper into our hearts and into our minds. And the more we do that, the easier it is for us to keep living out the word of God in our lives and our minds reset. So that we want what God wants. We seek what God is offering. His will. His will becomes our will. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, right now we just ask, Lord, that you meet us in this moment. Help us to just be still for a few minutes. To not be in a rush. We don't have to hurry and stand up. We can just sit and be still. And we can think about Jesus. His body, his blood, his sacrifice, his love, that it all shows to us. We can wrap our minds around that truth of how loved we are. And as we do so, we can commit ourselves to pursuing you through him. So help us, Father, meet us in this moment as we remember what you've done for us. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.